Yeah, no, I'm really serious. I really want you guys to... I mean, there has to be laws being broke here. People working like that, I mean, that's slave labor. I mean, we outlawed slavery.
My name's Laura Starcheski. I am one of the reporters and producers on Reveal's American Rehab Project.
So during the current Black Lives Matter movement, attention has been called to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery except as a punishment for a crime. Prison labor is both legal and prevalent in this country, which has led to a number of boycotts of companies who use it. It's actually sort of common with what you see at the grocery store. But it's not the only way work without pay is employed in this country, if you'll pardon the pun. And one of those is what's known as work therapy through rehab facilities. And you did an investigation into that topic. Can you walk me through some of your findings?
Sure, I'd be glad to walk you through some of the findings. We had a team of reporters looking into rehabs that send people to work for no pay or for pennies on the dollar at Reveal for the past almost 4 years. And our investigation started with one rehab in Oklahoma that was sending people to work for no pay at a chicken plant. And from there, the reporters who started the project, Shoshana Walter and Amy Julia Harris, they started hearing about other rehabs. They found one in North Carolina that was sending people to work at an assisted living facility. And then they got curious about just how big this phenomenon actually is. And there's no one federally tracking how many rehabs are sending people out to work and not paying them. So our team took it on and ended up finding that about 60,000 people a year minimum go through these kinds of programs in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big number. It's we weren't sure just exactly what we would find at the beginning. And it's a minimum number because a lot of the programs that were on our list as potentially doing this didn't want to disclose details about how they operate, where they're sending people to work, or whether or not they're paying them. So we know that there are more rehabs out there doing this.
Right. And rehab facilities, generally speaking, are pretty majorly unregulated.
That's right. Most of the facilities on our list, we found about 300 of them in almost every single state, and most of them are not licensed. So that means that essentially there's no one checking even basic things like, are people even getting a treatment that works? Are the people in this rehab safe? Are they actually getting help with their recovery? What kind of outcomes are there? There's no one watching to make sure that the treatment is humane and effective.
And what sorts of labor did you find were included in these work therapies?
Oh my gosh, we found a lot of different jobs that people were doing. We found so many different jobs that people were doing while they were in rehab. So everything from picking cotton and pecans on a farm in Georgia, to maintaining oil rigging in Louisiana, to doing security at Houston Astros baseball games, to building luxury apartment complexes in the Bay Area in California. So people could be working in thrift stores, they could be roasting coffee, they could be making candles and essential oils. We found a lot of dangerous jobs, people doing tree trimming without proper training or equipment, people doing electrical work without proper training, and people doing a lot of work on the and people doing a lot of work in Louisiana and Texas working in the oil and gas and petrochemical industry.
One day you might go work at a restaurant. The next day you might go work at a place that bags up mulch, where you're throwing 50-pound bags of mulch for 12 hours. That was usually a punishment job. If you got in trouble, that's where they sent you. I did scaffold building, painting, insulation, and power washing and sandblasting. Man, out here working 84 hours a week for nothing, for peanuts.
We worked 8 hours a day from 7 o'clock to 3.
10 hours a day.
From Monday to Saturday, you work about 54 hours.
And God forbid it rains, because every day you miss for rain, you lose a Sunday. So if you get a week of rain, you're working for, 6 months straight.
And normally those would be things that are regulated by OSHA.
That's right. And, I do want to point out, if people get injured on the job and they're a rehab participant, there have been OSHA complaints and reports made about those injuries. We unfortunately even found several deaths in these kinds of rehabs where people who had been injured on the job died. And those injuries and deaths could be reported to OSHA.
Okay, but the type of training or equipment that might normally be supplied for someone doing paid work instead of work therapy are not available.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are examples out there of rehabs that, say, are sending someone in to work at a petrochemical plant and end up, giving them proper equipment, taking the time to train them. Sometimes just to get into some of those jobs, you have to go through a certain amount of bureaucracy and safety training. So there may be instances where people do get proper training. But at one rehab that we looked at, the Senecor Foundation, which was running facilities in Louisiana and Texas, we found over 24 injuries going back years from rehab participants. There, we found people who had mangled hands, broken backs, and even a death going back to the 90s.
Wow. So thinking about work therapy, is there evidence that it's effective? I know that it's been sort of credited as a way to try to break substance abuse in people.
There's no scientific research that shows that making people work without pay is an effective treatment for addiction. Our reporting focused on the opioid epidemic because we trace the roots of these programs back to a program from the 1950s that was started and ended up serving people who were using heroin at that time when there really were so few options for them and nothing that resembled a treatment program. And what's special and unique about treating opioid addiction is that we actually do have a sense of what the most effective treatment is. It's a daily medication. And taking a daily medication when you're trying to recover from an opioid addiction can reduce your risk of death over 50%. But instead of offering people what we know can save their lives, we are turning to unproven methods like sending people to work without pay.
Right. It seems rather exploitative.
A lot of the people that we talked to for the reporting, and we spoke with hundreds of people who've been through programs like this, said that they felt brainwashed by the programs, that they felt afraid while they were in them, and they were afraid to leave, and that they felt dehumanized, that they weren't valued. The psychological distress that being put in a program like this can cause, I really don't think you can overestimate it.
Well, we used to tell people, yeah, we brainwash them because their brain is dirty. And it is. It's full of heroin and morphine and wine and whiskey and cigarettes and lying and cheating and stealing. Yeah, we brainwash them.
At times, I felt so trapped.
This place took a real mental toll on me. I felt like I was a slave there.
It's almost like they try to literally brainwash you.
I remember saying I would stay there 3 months. That was it. I would have this figured out. I stayed in Senecor 11 years. 11 years. I stayed there under a dictator named Luke Austin.
Would it be fair to say to your mind that it's a problem with the system rather than a few abusive actors taking advantage of this work therapy situation?
I think overall it is a systemic failure that's led to the conditions that lets these kinds of rehabs thrive. And I would point to a couple of factors in that. One is the rise of mass incarceration coming out of the war on drugs. So we went from tens of thousands of people in prison for drug charges to hundreds of thousands of people in prison for drug charges. And that led to overcrowding and situations where many courts are looking for somewhere else to send people and to put them, either for benevolent reasons so that they can actually get treatment and get the help they need, or simply because their prison and jail system is overcrowded and overtaxed, and they just can't keep accommodating so many people. So what we really found was a prison to rehab pipeline, because a lot of people end up getting court ordered into these programs. And when that happens, it means that they may have a felony charge hanging over them. They may have years or decades in prison hanging over them if they do not complete the program. So it kind of adds a whole layer of vulnerability and exploitation to the equation. And then the other structural issue is that there was a Supreme Court case showing that this setup of sending people in rehab to work and not paying them is illegal. It violates the Fair Labor Standards Act. And even if you are giving people room and board in exchange for their work, you still need to pay them a minimum wage. Yet the Department of Labor has barely enforced the Fair Labor Standards Act with rehabs like this. We found only a handful of times when they investigated and found violations at work-based rehabs. And then when they did find violations, we found that the follow-through was missing. So even if back wages were owed, they were not paid out, and rehabs were allowed to continue to operate in this way.
So in researching rehab facilities and work therapy, did you come across common misconceptions that people might have? Or put another way, what is it that most people may not understand about this issue?
I think in general, there's a tendency to treat people who are struggling with addiction in this country as if they have some kind of a moral failing. And that's the basis that a lot of these programs function on, that there's something wrong with you if you are using opioids or other drugs or drinking, and that you need to be taught to operate in some more moral fashion.
The vast majority of folks that I deal with are basically bottom feeders. They've been losers since the day they were born. They had a crackhead mama and a dopehead daddy, or no mama or no daddy. They kicked them out of church, they kicked them out of Little League. They've never achieved anything and don't know how to achieve it. They're basically looking for the perfect welfare state where the do-gooders take care of them.
Instead of treating addiction as a medical problem, one doctor that we spoke with who specializes in addiction medicine made a great analogy that I think explains it. You know, we wouldn't take someone with cancer and say that they have a moral failing and being made to work for no pay will somehow teach them how to overcome their cancer. We know that there are proven treatments to help people, especially with opioid addiction, and those can be delivered in a healthcare setting. They don't even need to be delivered in a residential treatment facility. Studies have shown that just the daily medication, taking a daily medication, what's sometimes called medication-assisted treatment, medications like buprenorphine or methadone, that those medications reduce your risk of dying of an overdose, and you don't even have to be in a facility to take them. So I think, you know, treating addiction like it's a moral failing leads to people being put in these kind of exploitative situations where they sometimes spend years of their lives. They don't complete the programs. The graduation rates at one of the rehabs we really focused on that I mentioned, the Senecor Foundation, less than 8% of people going through that program graduate. And when you don't succeed in a program like this, you're very vulnerable to relapse and you're very vulnerable to overdosing and dying. So those really are the stakes, life and death.
So for folks who might be hearing this and, you know, are alarmed by the impact that this can have, what is there to be done about it? What action can folks take?
I think education is a big one. You know, before we did this reporting, there was no national list of rehabs that are sending people to work and not paying them. People can go on our website at revealnews.org and find that list. If you just look up the American Rehab Project, you can find it. And you can at least now get a look at how many of these programs are operating in your state. You can search by state and find out what's near you and what's happening. And if you're alarmed by this, I would recommend getting in touch with your lawmakers, your representatives, and letting them know that you find this to be an exploitative model and you think that there needs to be more regulation of the rehab industry.
Do you have any closing thoughts for us before we wrap up?
I think I would just offer a closing thought to people who are dealing with addiction and families who are dealing with addiction, which is just to, you know, if you are seeking help, for yourself or for a loved one, I would just encourage people to ask if rehabs that you're looking into use evidence-based treatment methods and to take the time to ask about their success rates, whether they're a work-based rehab or not.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
I was glancing through your Senecor booklet, and I liked the very first sentence I read. In all the years that Senecor has been in business, rehabilitating lives, we have found that nothing works as well as work itself. And work is therapy. You feel better about yourself when you have something productive to do.
Laura Starcheski is a senior editor at Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. Special thanks to Laura and the team at Reveal for use of some of their reporting. Their new serialized investigation is called American Rehab. You can hear it by subscribing to Reveal wherever you get your podcasts. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.